All right, we're continuing this morning on our study on the Christian's inheritance and the opportunity that we have to be able to earn some rewards when we get to heaven and be able to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Luke chapter number 19 is the parable that we looked at, or the story that Jesus told, that I believe will give us some kind of insight into the opportunity to be able to rule and reign with Him and the rewards that we're going to get. So I'll just look at one verse here, and then we're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week, and we got some other stuff I want to do this morning. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "And He called His 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come." And I'm not going to read the whole story for sake of time, and we've already gone over it in detail, but He tells them to occupy till He comes. And that's exactly what God would have for us to do that are saved, is to occupy, to stay busy until He comes. And we think of the word occupy or occupation, and I realize that we all have occupations in our everyday secular jobs, and but we all also ought to all have occupations in the church. It ought to be things that we can occupy within the church. And a lot of times we have on our mind and our heart that there's nothing we can do. Maybe in the local church, you got a pastor, and I'm not a Sunday school teacher. But there's a lot of things that need to be done in a local church that people can be involved in. And I'm going to give a list of those this morning towards the here. I don't know at what point in the class, but I'm going to give a list of those things. Things that we need at our church. Things that we need people to do, and not just to do them because nobody's doing it, but to do it because they want it to be a ministry. They want it to be their occupation in the church. In everything that I'm going to list, there's some that are being done. They're not being done well because the folks that are doing them are mainly maybe my wife or myself or Brother Hitch and Sister Hitch. They're not here this morning. They're taking some time and getting away for a little bit. They're both very busy at work, and they're getting older. And so they're just taking some time to themselves this morning, which I think is a good thing. And anything that ever needs to be done, they're willing to do it. But it's hard for them and my wife and I to keep up with all the stuff. So some stuff's getting done but not well. And then there's some stuff that's not getting done at all that needs to be done in our church. And so I'm going to give some of those here in just a few minutes. But He left these instructions to occupy till I come. And that's something God would have every one of us to do. To stay busy till He comes back. Now, He's not instructing them to stay busy in worldly entertainment. He's not instructing them to stay busy with worldly affairs that have nothing to do with magnifying Christ. Because we have plenty of that. I heard, I saw a quote, I don't know who said it, but I really liked it. The quote was, church should be the excuse to miss everything else. Yeah. I mean, as we're getting closer to the end of this thing, and I still believe the Lord's coming back. Man, I do. There's a lot of stuff going on. Tuesday's going to determine as far as right now what's happening in our country. But I tell you what, the Lord is coming back. And he said, occupy till I come. And he didn't, I don't think, I got to go back and read the passage. I might be off here, but I don't remember him telling them exactly when he was going to come back. And I might have got to go back and read that. I don't remember for sure. But he just said, occupy till I come. And we don't know exactly the day or the hour, but he's coming. And we need to be found busy. And I tell you, the times where I did a bad job at either a workplace or as a child when I was given instructions to have something complete, maybe make sure the dishes are done, make sure you know, your room's clean before we get home. And where I messed up is when I waited until the last minute. And when I did, if it did get done, it wasn't right. And it was shoved under the bed or in the closet. Amen. Or the dishes weren't washed properly. Or whatever the case might be. Or in a workplace, if you have a task that you have to complete, if you do it last minute, it's not going to be done properly. And it's the same thing with the Lord's return. We say, well, we want to do this and do this and do this, and we'll do that later. Well, we're running out of time for later. And we need to occupy till He comes. And the end goal, I believe here in verse number 17, read that with me. It says, "And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And I'm not going to go back and cover all this again because we have covered it in great detail. But the end goal, some of the other passages over Matthew and I believe maybe in Mark, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I believe at the end of the day, we want to please the Lord Jesus Christ in everything we do. And so we would like to hear that from Him. I know as a child, you want to hear a parent say, good job. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. Tell them good job. And, you know, you might have to keep them humble right after that to keep their head swollen back down. But or at a workplace, if somebody comes and says, man, I appreciate that. That was a good job. There was a man the other day was telling me at his workplace that he received like a gold star or something in an email. I was like, man, are we in kindergarten? I said, what did you do? He's like, I don't know. I just did my job. But he got an email saying you received a gold star, and this star comes with 10 points, and you can go to this store, this virtual store, and you can save up your points and order stuff. And I was like, what did you do? He's like, all I did was what they asked me to do. Nothing else. But I guess we got to give gold stars to adults too now to get them to do what they're supposed to do. But that's the day that we're living in. That's the day. But what I'm getting at is, you know, the gold star's funny, wow, whatever. But, you know, it's nice to get an email or get a hey, you know, I appreciate what you did. I know that you had to do it, but man, you put a lot into it. You gave it your whole heart. Thank you for doing that. Or the times maybe you went above and beyond. And that wasn't necessarily your job, but it needed to be done. We're about to get into some of that here in a second with the church. But you did it anyway. You did it with the right heart. And then somebody later said, thank you for doing that. Out of all those times that we appreciate hearing that, the greatest, I believe, of all those will be the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're standing up with them and God the Father says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said of His Son, Jesus Christ, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And we want to be able to rule and reign with Him and have those rewards. And it's not just because of any kind of recognition down here, because that's for the wrong reason. And if you do it with that heart, it ain't going to work. But we do it for the right heart, the right reason, and we'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and He can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Paul got to the end of his race, and he said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Amen. And there's treasures laid up in heaven. And he said, well, how can he say that? Because he did the best he could with what he had. And if you believe, if you know with the right heart that you're doing the best you can, when whatever ministry God's put you in, and it's not just in the church, like I said, it starts with the workplace. It starts with every day. In everything you do, do it to please the Lord. Not unto men, but unto Christ. And we read those verses last week. In everything you do, but above and beyond that, there's opportunity to minister in a local church. The opportunity is definitely there. And I mentioned several weeks ago when I first started that I'll have this list. And I still have a lot more to teach on the subject of the rewards and the inheritance. And we're going to go through some of that maybe even this morning if I finish this in time. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 9. 1 Timothy chapter 9. So we're going to continue to go over it. Now, this morning, as I cover this, and I'm going to list a lot of things. And you say, well, maybe there's some more things that can be added to that list. And I'm sure there are. But as we list these, I'm going to ask that no one come up to me after class this morning and say, I want to do that. Okay? And the reason I say that is I want you to pray about it. This is the first time you're hearing this list. And some of the things you might already know about or maybe you would think would be on there. And maybe you've already prayed about that. And that's good. That's fine. But I'm just asking, don't come up to me this morning and say, I want to do that. I've had a lot of people do that. And, you know, the next week they're not even in church and you haven't seen them for a year. Amen. So you said, well, what are you getting at? What I'm getting at is pray about it. What my prayer is for our church is we have a church full of servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't have any servants. If anybody's listening to the recording, I don't have servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that these things would be a ministry. There's already a couple folks in our church that have ministries. already. I mean, Brother Bowen gets up and leads singing. That's a ministry. And I expect as a pastor for him to pray over what songs to sing, to pray about it, to get the mind of Christ. The Sunday school teachers, as they get up, it ought not to be just a throw together thing. They ought to pray about it. Well, I'm teaching 2-year-olds. Well, man, you need to pray about it more than everybody else. You're shaping their mind and their future for what God would have for them to know about His Word. I mean, what a great responsibility. So pray about it. Be full of the Holy Spirit when they do it. Everybody, not just the pastor. And so these ministries, and I don't want to mention names and all those kind of things, but I'm going to mention the name. Miss Beth's doing the water. I mean, just little bitty things like that, that is a ministry. And that's important. And you say, well, that's insignificant. No, it's not. When you're up there preaching and you don't have no water, it's important. Amen? Amen. I mean, it's just things like that, just so important. And having the decorations in the church and all. I mean, just there's all kinds of things I'm going to mention. But what I'm asking is, God lays something on your heart. God's already laid a couple folks on my heart for some of these things. But I don't want to say it. I want you to pray about it and say, that's what God wants me to do. Because if I ask somebody to do it, now listen, all these things got to be done. And if nobody says anything about doing it and wanting to serve in this church and in these aspects, then the people that are doing them will just keep doing the best they can to do them. And most of that's my wife and myself. And we don't mind doing it. We're here to serve this church, to serve the people, and try to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But there's some areas that maybe I could do better at if some of these weren't on my plate. Amen. Especially in preparation for church Sunday morning. And we'll go over that in a second. But what I'm asking you to do is don't come up to me right afterwards and say, I'm going to do this. It's not a sign-up sheet. You pray about it. And then after today, maybe even this evening, if you prayed about it and get some peace about it, and then let me know. And don't be offended if I tell you no. Yeah. Amen. Don't be offended if I say no. I don't have peace about that. You know, let's pray about something else. Because maybe there's somebody else that God has in mind. And I realize we've got some folks in our church that want to do something. I'm thankful for that. But I want these things to be a ministry. And so with that in mind, look at 1 Timothy chapter 9, verse 12. If you're there, say amen. Amen. There is no 1 Timothy chapter 9, so let's not go there. Now I have to find what I'm looking for. See, I got too busy this morning to mess up my notes now. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4. How about that? Do what? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's good. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse number 12. All right. No, that's not what I want either. That's a good verse too, though. Hold on a second. Chapter 1. That's definitely what I want. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. Okay? I don't know where 1 and 9, but that... All right. Chapter 1, verse number 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Okay? And now, when it comes to serving the Lord in the church, people will say, I'm not worthy. You know, when you think about a ministry and saying, I want to be a part of a ministry of a church, and I want to take on something, a occupation in the church, and I want it to be a ministry. A lot of times people say, well, I'm willing to do that, but I don't feel worthy to have a ministry in the church. Like, I don't feel like I'm worthy. Well, let me just say this right now. None of us are worthy of nothing. It's by the grace and mercy of God that He allows us to do anything that we do. Okay? But Paul the Apostle goes on to say, you talk about being worthy, being counted faithful. None of us are worthy. But has anybody in here ever physically killed a Christian? Amen. I said physically, because spiritually you might have been your heart. I don't know. But we're not going to go into that. Brother Bob said. This morning too. Now, that's what I said. We're not saying spiritual. Physically killed a Christian. All right. I know we probably have spiritually. But Paul did those things. Look at verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I mean, thank God for grace and mercy, man. And the grace, it says in verse 14, of our Lord was exceeding abundant with the faith. With faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to talk about verse 15 and 16. How the Lord Jesus Christ saved him. And he found mercy before the Lord. And then he goes on to verse number 18. He says, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So what does that have to do with verse number 12? Well, it follows verse number 12 about God counting him faithful, putting him in the ministry. You say, well, how did God do that? God did that by, first of all, saving him. Okay, so if you're going to be involved in a ministry at our church, you need to be saved. Amen. Amen. You need to be saved. And I believe we've given the gospel to everybody in this room. But, you know, you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Believe what he did on the cross for your sins. He died, was buried, and rose again. So you need to be saved. And the second thing I see here is that it says he counted me faithful. Okay, so if you're going to be a part of a ministry of a church, you need to be a part of a church, and you need to be faithful. There's nothing more frustrating for a pastor in a church than for somebody to have a ministry in the church and they don't show up. What makes matters more difficult is when they don't show up and they don't let you know that they're not coming. And that's one of the, there's a lot of benefits of being a church member and of being a part of a local church. I mean, you got family that'll pray for you. You got people that'll be there for you. When you need help at your house, they'll come help you. When things are going on, when you need a pounding, we come to the house and pound you. I mean, all the things, just what a blessing to be a part of a local church. But some people don't want to be a part of the ministry of a local church because they have to be faithful. And if you're going to be a part of that, you have to be found faithful. And it's good to, you know, people miss sometimes. People are sick sometimes. We understand that. But it's nice to let somebody know, say, hey, preacher, I'm not going to be there today. I'm not going to be able to do my occupation. People call in sick to work, right? I mean, if you are sick and you can't make it to work, you call in and say, I'm not going to make it today. I'm sick. Or you take vacation. You go places and understand that. But what if you were to just didn't feel like going to church or didn't feel like going to work today and just didn't show up and didn't call nobody? How long would that last? Some of y'all that have owned businesses or try to, you know, or run companies or been a boss, that don't last but what, a day or two maybe? And that's mercy. Which these days, man, you can't fire somebody for doing something stupid anymore. You have to wait and wait and wait and write them up and write them up and write them up and coach them and coach them and coach them, and then you can let them go. Even though Alabama is a right to work state, you still have to have so many write ups and so much coaching. Amen. I saw one time where an HR guy called up a boss and said, he asked the question, did you call that guy an idiot? And he goes, no, I did not call him an idiot. I asked him if he was an idiot. Amen. We're living some strange times when it comes to the workplace. But, you know, when we talk about an occupation in the church and serving God, and this is an opportunity for us to earn rewards for him, all right, and everything we do please him and being a part of a ministry. And whenever we think about that, God is who we're working for. Amen. I know it's a blessing to the pastor and it's a blessing to the church, and we're serving the church when we do that. But it's to please the Lord Jesus Christ, not to please me. If you're doing it to please me, don't do it. Amen. And you know, I'll disappoint you. You'll disappoint me. But man, we want to do it to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But it's the same thing. If you say, well, I believe the Lord's laid on my heart to do this, to do one of these ministries, or maybe more than one of them, it needs to be one of those things that you take it serious and you do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can't make it or something comes up, which things happen, that's fine. But you let somebody know. I mean, it wouldn't work at the workplace if you just said, well, I don't feel like going. And the next thing you know, they're like, well, where's Brother Bowen at? Anybody heard from Brother Bowen? Amen. How many times have we been in church where people are wandering around like, have you heard from so-and-so? Have you? No, I haven't heard from him. Have you heard from him? No, I haven't heard from him. I mean, try that on Monday and Tuesday and see how long that gets you. Amen. And we're serving somebody much greater than the man at work. We're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't want to be found unfaithful, and we don't want to, the end result of these people that aren't faithful, and they get caught up in other matters of the world, Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present evil world, you end up in shipwreck. So it's important to get involved in a church and get involved in ministry and serve the Lord, because you don't want to end up in shipwreck. You don't want to end up in family problems and all those kind of things. Look with me at Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. I was planning on doing this study at the end of talking about the Christian's inheritance and rewards, but I've had multiple folks come up to me saying, hey, what's that list? What can we do? You're talking about serving the Lord. We want to get doing it now. So thank the Lord for it. We'll start going over. All right. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. All right. Here's a note that Paul's leaving for Archippus. He says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And so God burdens your heart, and He lays a ministry on your heart. And again, there might be things that are not in this list. These are just things I know need to be done at this church. And they're all ministries, and they ought to be treated as such. Amen. Not a job, not a something. Nobody else is doing. I mean, ministry. And if you do that and you've got the right heart and you're trying to please the Lord, then it'll get done. It'll get done right. And so he said here to take heed to the ministry. Give attention to it. That means don't just wing it. Don't just do it last minute. Don't just do it just to get by. Give some attention to it. Amen. Yeah. Pay attention to it. Put some care into it, and do things purposefully, not just out of reaction, in the ministry that God will give you, and see that thou fulfill it. I mean, that's the instruction He gave here. But I'm interested in that taking heed. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that do jobs sometimes just because it has to be done, and it's half-hearted, and it doesn't get done right most of the time, and it's frustrating. Amen. It's frustrating to a workplace, but it's frustrating at church and all those things. All right, so the qualifications for a ministry is be saved, be faithful, and take heed. Take some care and pride in doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, and some folks have asked about joining the church membership. And the first Sunday in December, we're going to have a Sunday where folks are going to come forward and join the church. We've got, I think, at least three different ones that have come and asked us about it. And so we're going to do that the first Sunday in December. And you're still praying about that part of it. That's between you and the Lord. But if you want to start getting involved in the local church, you can do that. And just pray about it. That's what God would have for you to do. All right? And God will bless it if you do those things. All right? So I'm going to go over a list of things here. So some of these sound petty, or some of them, I'm telling you, it'll be a great blessing to this church and to us as we try to minister for these things. All right, so I got a whole list here, and you pray about them. These are in no particular order. Everything on this list takes for this church to run. It's in no particular order. All right, none greater than the other. All right, so the first one that I have on here, and I asked my wife if she'd help me with it too, because she's running wide open, and she does a lot of these things on here. All right, the first one is get church supplies. So what's that? I mean, once a month we go to Sam's Club or Walmart and get church supplies. And we're not asking anybody to pay for anything that is on this list. We will provide the funds. And if somebody needs a church card, we'll get them added and get it to it and get that available for them to be able to. We're not asking for nobody to pay for anything. If these things need to be done, these are just things that need to be done. Somebody to say, hey, once a month I'll go to Sam's and I'll get the list. They write this board, they fill it out, she's got a list, and again, none of this stuff gets done, we'll just keep doing it. It's got to be done either way. It's about one time a month we go to Sam's Club or go to Walmart and get that stuff. All right, refilling the water jugs in the hallway. I mean, mean, that's going down here to, we go to Piggly Wiggly or go down there and we turn in the jugs and we pick up other jugs and, you know, we go, people come fill up the water cups and all that, but all that stuff's got to be done. And again, sometimes it runs out and we don't get to it in time and have to do it and it's late. A card ministry. This is something we're not doing, but God has put on my heart to have this done at our church for several years. So what kind of card ministry? We got all those cards out there. You don't have to pay for them. The church already owns them. But you send a card if somebody's sick. You send a card if there's a death in a family. If somebody's missed church, maybe a couple services, you just send them a card telling them that we're thinking about them, we're praying for them. Just a card ministry to help the church, to encourage the church. If somebody passes away or there's a sickness or a surgery, I mean, it's nice to get a card in the mail, you know, not just give them at church, but, you know, maybe get their address and send it to them. And, man, that's an encouragement for a local church. I'd like to see somebody have a card ministry. I'd like to have like a church directory, you know, with addresses and names and things. Somebody to take that upon themselves to try to get that together and keep it updated. I'd like to see somebody working with the kids, like a kids choir, or let them sing and do, you know, get them involved with some kind of kids ministry and singing. I'd love to have that. And let them get up and sing for us on Sundays and try to teach them how to praise the Lord. I'd like to start a ladies' fellowship. We used to do this several years ago in a men's fellowship, but we need somebody to organize it. We need somebody to organize those. I mean, that doesn't mean you have to get up and do the devotion every week. If you want to, that's fine. And again, all these ministries are under myself as a pastor and my wife. All right. So anything that we do, you'll work with us and all those kind of things. It's not undermining the pastor. These are just things that need to be done. A ladies' fellowship and a men's fellowship, but we need somebody to say, hey, I'll organize those every month or every 3 months. We used to do it every 3 months. People get busy. And just say, somebody, I'll organize it. I'll make sure that it's set up for it. I'll make sure that we got the stuff we need for it. And again, church will pay for it. We just need somebody to do it, to take it upon themselves and say, I will make sure this is organized and set up. Men, we don't decorate anything when we fellowship. We just eat. So we just need somebody to organize the eating for it. Amen. But the ladies, sometimes they like to decorate and do things. And that's fine. We just need somebody to do it. Somebody to organize it. Somebody to put it together. Find somebody to do a devotion. And, you know, check with Miss Sarah and ask her, or you do it, or however the case might be. But we need somebody to do that. The flower beds around the church. I mean, these are all things that can be a ministry for somebody. And I've got more stuff on the list than we got people in this room. And I understand that. But these are things that need to be done. The flower beds around the sign, the flower beds around the church. It'd be nice to not even have to think about it. It just gets done. Because that's somebody's ministry. And again, we'll provide whatever is needed to do all this. The church sign. Just changing the church sign. At least maybe once a month or something. Add a, you know, new verse or put revival up there or whatever's going on. And somebody to do the church sign. Just maintenance around the church. I mean, somebody that takes it on as a responsibility for themselves. When they walk around the church, oh, there's a light bulb out. Every chance I get, I'm changing out fixtures with LED lights. But, hey, there's a light bulb out in the foyer. Amen. I'm going to make sure that gets changed out. Just little stuff like that. Instead of it going on for months and months and months, then finally when I get time, I'll come up and do it. Getting that done. Church maintenance. It'd be nice if somebody had a ministry of just greeting visitors and greeting people when they came in. Help put together a visitor packet. I mean, we'll buy whatever we need to do that, but that's their ministry. And find out what their name is, where they're from, and then come up and let me know about it and write it out so I don't mispronounce it. Amen. But sometimes it's hard to do those things. And so these are the list of things. All right. I have on here a missionary encouragement. That could be a missionary or a ministry. You say, what's that? That's finding out when their birthdays are, when their anniversaries are. And sending them a card or, you know, sending them a note. Or we find out that somebody's sick within the missionary. And just trying to be a missionary encouragement. All right, that's another ministry that we can have here. Seasonal decorating at the church. Now on this one, it still needs to look like a church when we get done. And we're not putting a Christmas tree in the sanctuary. All right, but just seasonal decorating. I mean, I like those things. It's nice. And Sister Diane does a good job of putting the thing up in the front there, and I really like that. And the one up there, nice for the fall. And, man, that's a blessing. But just seasonal decorating. I mean, I don't mind if we hang stuff on the doors and we try to just make the church. I mean, we decorate our houses for seasons, don't we? We decorate our kitchens and our living rooms. And There's nothing wrong with making the house of the Lord that way. I mean, we're all family coming together to worship God. But that needs to be a ministry. And again, whatever does get done is usually my wife or myself or brother or sister Heidi. And I'm thankful for what they do, but they, you know, they're running on both ends and they're getting older. And sign language. Man, that is, I'm praying that God would send somebody to our church that would take a sign language ministry, or that God would give the ability to somebody in our church just to be able to start doing that. I mean, we have somebody here that needs that. We can minister to them through song and through preaching. That's a ministry that we need. So I'm praying about that. All right. Here's one that would be a blessing. It's somebody that would, our family or whatever, take on the ministry of opening up the church. So, I mean, what does that mean? I mean, I'm talking about coming in, getting all the lights turned on, make sure the air's right, make some coffee, make sure we sweep the porches, you know, before anybody comes, come early and do all that. So who's doing it now? I do. But you know what it takes away from? It takes away from me in there praying and looking over the message and studying or finishing up. And sometimes, you know, I'm last minute trying to get all that done and get stuff printed off and all that because I'm trying to make sure everything's turned on. And you say, well, that don't even take that long. No, it doesn't. But it's something important. I mean, to make sure the steps are swept off just from the few days before where leaves were blown on it, and making sure coffee's made, make sure the air's on, make sure the lights are turned on. Amen? And we'll make sure you get a key if you're doing that. And just take, I'm talking about all these things as a ministry, not just jobs, as a ministry, and say, listen. Now, if there's people that say, listen, I don't think God's called me to any kind of ministry, but if there's any of those left, I'll do what I can with it, then we'll let you help out with it. Amen? Because it just needs to be done. But I'm praying that God would give somebody ministries. And here's an example of a ministry that I gave to somebody, and it doesn't ever get done, was the mic batteries. I gave that to somebody and said, hey, make sure the mic batteries get changed out. And, you know, you got to be here to do that. And they don't get changed out. I mean, we're having singing this morning, and if I got to remind somebody or ask Brother Nick or myself or somebody to go make sure the mic battery. But if these things become a ministry and you say, hey, in my local church, this is what I do to serve the Lord. And we see people get saved and we see homes get fixed. All that goes to your account, man. Every bit of that goes toward us standing before God. And he goes, you are faithful in your church. You occupy till I come. That ministry that I laid on your heart, you did it and you did it well. And I'll also say this, that God has never called a man or a family out of a church to go minister somewhere else that wasn't busy working in their church. Now, there might have been some that went out and did it and made a mess of things, but God didn't call them. But God has always used the people he's used to be missionaries, evangelists, to be helpers in other churches or whatever, have always been people that were busy in their local church. An example of that was Brother Alverson. He's our missionary to Scotland. I've been to his church a couple times here lately. And while before church, after church, during meetings, camp meeting I went to, I mean, I got up there real early, was going to go fellowship. His wife is vacuuming the sanctuary, and he's working, and he's fixing a light over here, and going. And I asked Brother Fawcett, the pastor, I said, man, what are you going to do when they leave for Scotland? He's like, I don't know. He said, they do everything around here. And they're just happy to do it. But guess what God did? God said, hey, you're faithful. They're serving your local church. I'm going to send you to Scotland to pastor a church. Now God's given them a building. Amen. Amen. They're trying to get the money up for that. But God's opened all these doors. And he said, I found you faithful. Now I'm going to send you over here. And I'm going to give you your own ministry. Amen. Over there in Scotland. And so the question this morning is, can we be counted on to be faithful, occupying till the Lord Jesus Christ comes? And there is opportunity to do that in our church. We're a small church, but there's opportunity to do that. And as we grow, there'll be more ministries. We'll need Sunday school teachers. We'll need more like youth leaders and those kind of things. We'll need all that stuff as we grow, and I do want to grow. But as we get closer to the end of this thing, I don't know. That's the Lord's business whether or not we grow. We're going to try to minister, and we're going to try to do some street preaching and holding signs and door knocking again. We'll try to get that going again. And we're going to do what we can, but it's the Lord's business whether or not we grow. But we can be faithful with what we have. Yeah. Amen? All right. Well, hope you got something out of that. All right. And so please pray about it. Earnestly pray about it. And get involved with the ministries here at our church. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us, God. We thank you for being a great God and a great Savior. Father, we thank you that you've given us the opportunity to be able to serve you, Lord, not only in our everyday walk, but Father, in a church, in a local church. And Father, we're so thankful for every person that's here, Lord. And Father, I realize that we don't have all the flashes and we don't have all the big amenities and all those things, God, but we do have you. And Lord, that's all that matters, Father, is that we have your presence, we have your spirit, and we have your word, and we're very thankful for that, Lord. But God, I pray that with the things that we do have, that we be found faithful, Lord, serving you and occupying until you come. Lord, would you touch our church, Lord, touch their hearts, Father, and God, put on their heart, Lord, maybe a ministry that they'd want to be a part of. Lord, thank you for those that have come forward about joining the church, Lord. And God, we just pray that you bless that, Lord, and we'll thank you for all you do for us. Bless the morning service. Pray you're pleased with all that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.